So many people, they try so hard for God to accept them, so hard for God to love them. They work and work and serve and do. That's not how God works. You are not accepted by God because of you. And I'm not accepted because of me. We're all accepted because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. And that's why God accepts you. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 that we are accepted in the beloved. And the beloved is Jesus. And God accepts his son. He accepts his son 24/7. He accepts his son always. And if I accept Jesus, God accepts me. There is truth. There is bliss, there is hope that you always dreamed of. He can heal every scar.
Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today. You know, some people possess the erroneous notion that God is, well, a push and shove type of God, demanding faster and harder and longer service before he'll grant us grace, before he'll even consider accepting us. But we don't work to earn God's acceptance. In fact, the Bible tells us we can't. There's only one way to God, and that's through the kindness of the King. That's the title of today's message from Jeff's series, Heartbeat, Becoming a Person After God's Own Heart. Now, as the month comes to a close tomorrow, we're almost finished with these powerful and inspiring lessons from Jeff's Heartbeat series. And if you missed any that we've aired or want to know more about becoming a person after God's own heart, then go online now to discover the heartbeat of God when you go to fromhisheart.org. Now, if you can, open your Bible to the book of 2 Samuel. Here's Pastor Jeff beginning to describe the magnitude of the kindness of the King.
Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we get such a wonderful, vivid picture of the heart of God, of the grace of God, as David the king shows the kindness of God to an unlikely recipient named Mephibosheth. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Then David said, he's established as king now. Then David said, is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul? Stop. He's asking his servants, is there anyone left in the house of Saul? And they immediately said, ah, we knew you were going to ask about the house of Saul. See, Saul was the first king. Saul was the first dynasty in Israel. You know what happened in the ancient Near East? When you would have a shift in dynasty, you know what the new dynasty would immediately do? They'd go find all the sons, all the family members of the old dynasty, and they would kill them. Why would they do that? Well, so that the kingdom would never switch back to the old dynasty, because all those people were dead. And so he says, is there anyone left of the house of Saul? They said, oh, he's going to start the purge. But he goes on, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Now, there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I'm your servant. And the king said, is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? The Hebrew word is hesed, translated loving kindness, mercy, grace, the kindness of God. And Ziba said to the king, well, king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Maacah, the son of Amiel in Lodebar. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Maacah, the son of Amiel from Lodebar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth, he said, here's your servant. And David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly. Again, he prostrated himself and said, what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? This is such a beautiful, beautiful story tucked away in the Old Testament that shows the kindness of the King, of God the King, that shows the grace of God. Now, I want you to think with me along this question. How can you be set free to really enjoy the grace and the kindness of God? To get off the performance treadmill so that you can really work for the Lord, not for His acceptance, but from His acceptance. Two keys. Key number one, think soberly about your life without Christ. Let me explain to you what your life was like before you trusted Him. See, it's so vividly pictured through Mephibosheth. Number one, you're deformed. It says twice in this passage, in verse 3, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. And what happened to Mephibosheth? When he was 5 years old, his dad, Jonathan, who was the son of the king, Saul, who was going to be, in Saul's mind, the next king of Israel, is going to be my son, Jonathan. Well, Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle. And they were afraid, and his nursemaid, Mephibosheth's nurse, grabbed up little five-year-old boy Mephibosheth and ran because there was confusion. And when she ran with him, she tripped and fell. And when she fell, he fell. And he landed hard, and he was injured, and he broke his feet, and they never healed right, and he was crippled for the rest of his life. He's deformed. You're deformed because of sin. I'm deformed because of sin. We suffered a fall, but not only are you deformed, you are deceived. You're deceived before you meet the Lord, just like Mephibosheth. He had been told all his life when he was fleeing after his grandfather and father died, you gotta run away because somebody's gonna try and kill you. The next king is gonna try and kill you. David was the next king. And so he's spending his whole life thinking, David's against me. And so he had all these thoughts about David. And he was so afraid of David. Deformed, deceived, deprived. Where is Mephibosheth living his life? Lodabar. Lodabar. You know what the word Lodabar means? Literally, it means place of no pasture. It's a dusty, dry hideout. It's a place of barely getting by. Hey, that's what happens when you're without Jesus. You live a life of deprivation. You live in Lodabar, a place of no pasture. See, every person who doesn't know Christ is in rebellion toward God. And not only are you going to have a dry and dusty experience, you're also not going to have any peace. Mephibosheth didn't have any peace. He was always afraid that he was going to be found and executed. Scripture says in Isaiah 57, verse 21, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Man, horrible, deformed, deceived, deprived, and doomed. Mephibosheth really didn't have a life that he was living. He was just existing. What do you have to look forward to outside of Christ? You have no hope and you have no future. That's what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. Hey, you want to really experience and enjoy the kindness and the mercy and the grace of God? Then remember where you came from. Think soberly about that. And key number two, think seriously about God's offer in Christ. God's offer to you in Christ. Now, here's the story. David says, hey, I want to show kindness to the house of Saul, to Jonathan. Does Jonathan have any descendants? Well, yeah, there's one crippled boy, Mephibosheth. I want to show kindness to him. David never says, well, how crippled is he? I mean, I don't know if I want to show kindness to him. I mean, he might really be a drag. David doesn't ever ask about how crippled Mephibosheth is. He says, bring him here to me. And he comes before David, and David says, Mephibosheth, do not fear. For I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father, Jonathan. What does God offer to you in Christ? Number one, straight out of the chute, is forgiveness. Forgiveness for all your sins. He says, do not fear. Do not fear, Mephibosheth. I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to bless you. God offers you forgiveness. Secondly, God offers you a fortune. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul. That's a pretty good deal. Grandfather Saul was the king, and all his landholdings now go to Mephibosheth. And he receives the fortune from his grandfather. And not only that, Ziba, the servant of Saul, he's a big shot. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba and all his sons and all his servants now are going to work for Mephibosheth, and they're going to till and work the land for Mephibosheth. Hey, he's rolling in the dough. The cat from Lodibar is now got lands, and he's got holdings, and he's got servants and people to work for him. It's amazing the fortune that he's been given. What does God offer to you and me? He offers us a fortune. When we come to him, if we receive Christ, he says, man, when you receive my son, you receive everything that I have. And you say, well, man, that's awesome. I mean, God is offering all that to me, forgiveness of all my sins. Does he know all the things that I've done? Uh-huh. You say, could it get any better? Ah, it gets even better. As wonderful as it is to be forgiven, and it's wonderful, as wonderful as it is to inherit a fortune from the king, it pales in comparison to the third thing that he offers, and that is fellowship, the fellowship of the king. He says to Mephibosheth, not only will I restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, but you shall eat at my table regularly. He says that several times in this chapter, and Mephibosheth ate at the king's table regularly. He was there at the king's table regularly, to eat with the king and to hang out with the king. What does God offer to you and to me? He offers fellowship with himself. You can come to my table. You can live at my house and in my house. And every day when my sons and my daughters gather to eat at the table for a wonderful time of a great meal and great fellowship, I want you to be there too, just like one of my own sons. And I'll treat you like one of my own sons. Boy, to hang out with God, Almighty God, eat at the table with God. Here you sit next to me, Jeff, and you can eat at my table. And there is David, and there is Moses, and there is Daniel, and there is Peter, and there is Paul. We're all at the table. How awesome is that? God says, I offer you my fellowship. You can be with me.
The kindness of the king. Being granted the grace to sit at the king's table as sons and daughters. Wow! Don't let the magnitude of that statement get past you. And be sure to stay with us, too, for the second half of the broadcast. It's coming up in just a moment. As we're learning today, God is kind. But you might ask, well, if he's so kind, why is my life so full of trouble? Well, that's a good question. The fact is that we all face troubles and problems on a daily basis. And sometimes trouble reaches a fever pitch and we literally don't know what to do. But that is when God's kindness is on real display. Would you like to discover how to see the kindness of God at work in your life? Well, Pastor Jeff Shreve has written a significant booklet resource. It's called Sticks and Stones, What to Do When the Going Gets Tough. And it'll help you discover the strength that you need to face down those pesky trials and bring you real peace and joy as you rest in the presence of God in your life. Now, that may sound impossible to you, but not to those who call him King. It's our gift to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. Now, for your gift of $25 or more, we'll also send you Jeff's uplifting six-message series called Attitude for Altitude. It'll help you adjust your attitude Godward and fill you with God's kindness. To get these special thank you gifts for your support this month, call 1-800-985-1530. That's 1-800-985-1530. And request Sticks and Stones, What to Do When the Going Gets Tough, and the series Attitude for Altitude. And also go online to fromhisheart.org. Both the booklet and the series will be a great encouragement in tough times for sure. Now let's conclude this revealing message from Jeff today called The Kindness of the King.
Now, Mephibosheth is hearing all this stuff. And remember this guy, he just came from Lodibar. He hadn't been in Jerusalem long at all. But here he is, Lodibar in the morning, and it's just an hour later, and now I'm before the king, and now he's offering me forgiveness, he's offering me a fortune, he's offering me fellowship and a family. Mephibosheth's blown away. He's totally blown away. And he says to David, why are you doing this? Why would you do this? Why would you have regard for a dead dog like me? I'm totally worthless, David. I have nothing to offer you, David. I am crippled, David. I can't even work in your kingdom. There's nothing I can do. I am not deserving. I am not worthy of your forgiveness and of a fortune and of your fellowship and of your family and to live in the palace. I'm not worthy of that. David looks at him. He says, Mephibosheth, you're missing something here, bud. I'm not doing this because of you. I'm doing this because of Jonathan. I'm doing this for Jonathan's sake. That's why I'm receiving you. It's for Jonathan's sake. Because see, Mephibosheth, you didn't know this, but your dad and I, we had a covenant. We had a covenant, and before your dad died, way before he died, he and I made a solemn agreement, a solemn pact that would cover his descendants forever. And that if I became king, I would show the kindness of God to his descendants forever. Why am I receiving you into my home? And why am I having you come to the table? And why am I giving you a fortune? Because of that covenant I made with your dad. Because of Jonathan's sake. Why does God offer everything that he offers to you and to me? He offers it because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's why. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So many people, they try so hard for God to accept them, so hard for God to love them. They work and work and serve and serve and do and do. That's not how God works. You are not accepted by God because of you. And I'm not accepted because of me. We're all accepted because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. And that's why God accepts you. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 that we are accepted in the beloved. And the beloved is Jesus. And God accepts his son. He accepts his son 24/7. He accepts his son always. And if I accept Jesus, God accepts me. There's nothing, God doesn't accept you because you're so wonderful, because you're so holy. Give me a break. Because you're doing so well. It's not based on your performance. And praise God that it's not, because all of us would be out. God accepts us on the basis of Jesus. You want to enjoy your relationship with God? Jesus, rest. Whew. In the fact that Jesus loves you and he died for you. And he says, the moment that you receive me, I receive you. Now, two key words in the Christian life. Two key words. You never go to heaven without these two key words. To understand them and to do them. Grace and faith. Two keys. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. So, hey, based on that verse, Ephesians 2:8, I can't get to heaven without grace and faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith. So what exactly is grace? He said, well, Jeff, you said grace was the unmerited favor of God. That's right. Here's another way to think of grace. Grace is God's acceptance of you. You, Mephibosheth, he accepts you. What is faith? Faith is your acceptance of his grace. Your acceptance of God's acceptance of you. That's what faith is. Here's Mephibosheth. He's prostrate before the king. He hears all these words of the king. And he says, what is your servant? Why would you do this? I'm just a dead dog. And he said, I'm doing it because of Jonathan. Now, at that moment, Mephibosheth had a choice to make. David wasn't going to make him live in his house. He wasn't going to make him inherit all the land. He wasn't going to make him eat at his table. He had a choice to make. What am I going to do? Am I going to say, forget it, David? I think I'm going to go back to Lodibar. I want back in the spider hole. I want to eat spam in Lodibar. Or am I going to go in your palace? Am I going to eat at your table? He had a choice to make. David said, what do you want to do, Mephibosheth? He said, let me think about it for a minute. I'll take it. I'll do it. Yes, I don't understand this thing about grace. I don't understand this thing about the kindness of God for Jonathan's sake. But man, sign me up. And that fast, he changed his address. He wasn't living in Lodabar anymore. He was living in the king's palace. That fast, he got a new set of clothes. He's got silk pajamas on that night. He's got silk sheets. He wakes up in the morning. He's got servants. They're saying, well, what's the temperature that my Lord Mephibosheth would want in his bath? A bath. Well, I hadn't had one of those in a long time. And the servants taking care of him, and they put him in a beautiful white robe. And he goes down to the breakfast table. And there's Amnon, king's oldest boy. There's Absalom with his long hair, looks like Fabio. And there's Solomon reading a book at the table. David says, Solomon, put up your book. You know, he's the wisest guy ever lived. And he's putting up his book. There's Tamar, so beautiful. All the king's kids around the breakfast table. And there's the king. He said, Mephibosheth, come sit by me. And he's there on his crutches. And he clumps over and he sits down. And he puts his crutches under the table. And he puts those crippled feet under that tablecloth. And you can't see his crippledness anymore. It's covered by the tablecloth of grace, and he looks around and he's amazed. He said, I don't understand this stuff about grace, but I sure do like it. Solomon, pass the biscuits, would you? And it's just wonderful. That's what God has for you, because he loves you. Jesus hung naked on a cross so you could come to the Father's table. You don't have to wait till you die and go to heaven to experience the love and the grace and the fellowship of God. You can do it right now. There are people that are living right now in Lodabar. You're far from God. You're hiding out from God. You're afraid of God. And the Lord is saying to you, come. I have forgiveness. I have a future and I have a fortune and I have fellowship and a family that I want to give to you. He says, come. And there's others in this room, and you've come from Lodabar, and you've received God's grace, but you know what? You're never coming to the table. You're not experiencing the Lord like you could, and you are living in the back corner of the attic of the palace, and you're eating cheese whiz and crackers, and there's steak on the table, and there's a seat next to the king. It's got your name on it, and the king is wondering, why won't she come? Why won't he come? I accept them on the basis of Jesus.
What a powerful message from this story of a little-known crippled man, granted the grace to sit at the king's table through absolutely no merit of his own. This would be a great message to listen to again or pass along to a friend who is maybe struggling with the idea that a king could be that kind. The message today is called The Kindness of the King, and it's from Jeff's series, Heartbeat, Becoming a Person After God's Own Heart. These six messages are designed to show you and me and your friends that God's heart is one that is big enough to take the worst sinner and bring them into the loving arms of God. The Heartbeat series is available on CD, MP3, and transcript formats when you go online to fromhisheart.org. There, too, you can get a single copy of today's message, The Kindness of the King. On our website, you can also listen again to any of these messages and any of the past messages from the series. Well, time is up for today, but be sure to join us tomorrow for the final message in Jeff's series, Heartbeat, Becoming a Person After God's Own Heart. Join us to close out the series and the month on Tuesday with The Confessions of a Sinner, when Pastor Jeff Shree will open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart here on From His Heart. This program is sponsored by From His Heart Ministries, the listener-supported outreach of Dr. Jeff Shreve, who believes that no matter how badly you've messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for you. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.com. www.pastorjeffshreve.org.